see you tonight. We appreciate that you're here, and we have another opportunity to worship together. Thank you for the reading of God's Word, Connor, as we are going to continue and conclude this rather brief study of the Holy Spirit tonight. Just a two-part. It's never intended to be an exhaustive discussion, but to remind ourselves and review some things about the Holy Spirit. Now, Debbie told me, she said, "Now, how are you going to make the Holy Spirit relevant to our lives today?" I said, "That's your task tonight, Joe." And I said, "Okay, I'll take up that challenge." You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the New Testament that's in front of you right now. Amen. That's pretty relevant to me. Question is whether or not we will recognize it for what it is, that it's from God and not man, that is in fact from the Holy Spirit of God. And that the truth that we affirm is that which we believe and practice is the product of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it is that relevancy, reality that draws our attention to the Spirit. And for thanksgiving, for praise and honor, for adoration, for recognition, and for our faithful obedience to that which He has revealed to us. As we briefly review from last week, the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of deity. He is God. Acts 5, 3 and 4, as we studied together last class. So He possesses all the knowledge, the wisdom, the power, the insight of deity. He's omnipresent. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is a divine person, as noted in this passage. In John 16, 13 through 15, the Spirit of truth will not speak from His own self, that is His own authority, but He speaks from the authority of God Almighty, as He is deity. He takes the things of Jesus and will reveal it to the apostles, and did reveal it to the apostles. And notably, it says He will speak to you things to come, as He told that to the apostles. And so what they have written down for us in the New Testament is the very things the Holy Spirit, in His wisdom and deity, has revealed concerning the very mind of God. We studied that last week, 1 Corinthians 2, that the Spirit knows the mind of God, and He's told us the mind of God. And He's inspired the prophets, He empowered the apostles, and He bore witness or testimony to the truth. And we looked at all of those things in our first lesson. We also noted that He gave miraculous spiritual gifts to Christians for a very important reason, to help in the transmission, the revelation and the transmission of, as well as the confirmation of, the gospel truth that He revealed. And all of these things bear upon us, because if He had not done these things in the past, we would not be here in the present. We would not have salvation. We would not know about Jesus. We would not know about the cross. We would not know about our sin and our salvation if it were not for the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to have much place in our thinking at times. And so we want to spur that on. We want to generate and re-engender a recognition of the Holy Spirit. Not only of what He has done, but some material now about what He is doing. He's at work now. He is using this very Word that He revealed, that He inspired, and that He confirmed. He's working through it to accomplish human redemption, to save the lost. He's at work doing that. The passage in John 16 affirms that point. Jesus said, when He has come. Now, He's talking about the Holy Spirit in that text. He says, the Helper, as He's referred to in verse 7, or the Comforter, depending on your translation, He will convict the world. The work that He would do will have the effect of bringing to the world's attention recognition of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when the gospel went out into all the world and was preached to every creature, a message of sin and redemption was preached. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles convicted the murderers of Jesus of their sin. They were cut to the heart. And when we take the gospel today and teach it to the lost, the Holy Spirit is working. He is convicting the world of sin and giving correction and instruction in righteousness. And He also is teaching about the judgment to come, teaching us that there are reasons for us to believe and obey Jesus now. Because the judgment is coming. We're going to give an answer for our lives here. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be ready for that. And He's told us about the judgment. He has provided the standard for us, the book by which we will be judged, so that we can prepare, we can get ready. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14, the Apostle Paul said that in the preaching of the gospel, there is that God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The Spirit is at work sanctifying, setting us apart from sin. He's doing that every time someone believes and obeys the gospel. He separates by the power of the word that's preached, the power of the gospel to save. The Holy Spirit's involved in that. We don't think about Him so much, but we ought to, because He is Himself doing that work. He's also guiding us, leading us. Holy Spirit's doing that. When we talk about following the Word, that's just another way of saying we're following the Spirit. We are being led by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, in verse 14. You know, we shy away from that because we hear a lot of people in the religious world saying, oh, the Spirit told me to do this, the Spirit told me to do that. Well, the Spirit tells us to do things all right. He does it by means of the Word that He's revealed for us. In Romans 8, in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So there's no doubt, there's no question, we are led by the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He does that by the very Spirit, gospel He's revealed. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. We walk according to the Spirit. He has revealed the way out of sin to be sanctified. He has shown us how to be sons of God. Romans 1, 15 and 16, Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. But embedded within that is the very action and work of the Holy Spirit. He works in our salvation by the Word that He has revealed for us, that we have before us. That's relevant to you and me. Not only to save us initially, but then to lead us, to guide us, how we ought to be living our lives. James said we need to be looking into the perfect law of liberty. He said that the implanted Word is able to save our souls, but it does that by removing some things as well. And of course, that's our responsibility. The Holy Spirit's not going to just pluck these sins out of our lives. We have to believe what He teaches us in His Word and repent. Change our life, our heart, and change our lives. Laying aside, He said, therefore laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Holy Spirit gave us a Word that we're to implant within our hearts. And when we implant it in our hearts, then we make a deliberate decision. We're going to put away filthiness. We're going to no longer be driven by wickedness, but by the fruit of the Spirit that is born through the Word of God as it's implanted in our hearts. You see, we're being led by the Spirit. We're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. Galatians 5 uses all those terminology, all those terms. For what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives as we take His Word into our lives and in faith live it. The Holy Spirit is at work in that way in us. Now, You see, by the way, also, he is in that word showing us that we're God's children. He's giving us an assurance that we have an eternal inheritance. That's something he's doing in the word. He's by the word he saves us, by the word he guides us, and by the word he assures us that we are in fact children of God and have a heavenly inheritance. Look at Romans 8. Now, of course, all of this is so because we are willing to conform our hearts and lives to what he says, to this word. If we don't, we're not the children of God. If we don't, we're not saved. If we don't, he's not leading us. If we don't, we have no assurance that we're that God's children and have an inheritance. Look at Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's not enough to just say, oh, I know inside I know that I'm a child of God. The Spirit will testify and tell us if we're children of God. He tells us that in the Word. Because we can look at what He says and we can see whether or not we meet the divine criteria for being the children of God. Have I been saved by the blood of Jesus? Do I believe that He's the Son of God? Have I repented, confessed my faith? Have I been baptized for the remission of my sins? If not, I'm not a child of God. That's the Spirit's testimony. If I have, He tells me I am God's child. And more than that, if children, then heirs, verse 17. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Heirs, there's an inheritance the Spirit tells us about in His Word that we will receive because we're children of God. That's what He's doing. But you see, in every one of these, and we've made this point, every one of these is using the means of or the agency of the Word of God to accomplish it. As we are obeying the Spirit-given Word, then we know that we belong to God. 1 John 2 and verse 5 assures us of this point, that if we are walking in truth, he says, whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in Him. We know we're in Him. We know we belong to Him and have the inheritance He promises us. But we have to be walking in that Word. He accomplishes all this work through the agency of the Word of God. You see, whatever it's said that the Spirit does in our life, it's also said the Word of God does. The Bible says He will convict the world of sin. Well, He convicts the world with the Word of God. See, inspired Scripture reproves us, corrects us, instructs us in righteousness. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. It's the Word of God that convicts us. Again, we're being led by the Spirit, aren't we? We saw that in Romans 8 and 14. Well, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God leads us. The Spirit accomplishes this work by the Word. Except you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, so we've got to be born of the Spirit. But you see, the Word of God says we're born by the Word of God. Scripture says we're born by the Word. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God that lives and abides forever. So you're born of the Spirit, you're born through the Word of God. We have life in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So the Spirit gives life. But you see, life comes by the Word of God, Psalm 119 says. It's your Word that gives life, that delivers me, the psalmist said. The Spirit saves us, Titus 3 and verse 5. Well, the Gospel saves us, James 1, 21. The implanted Word saves your soul. You see, Spirit of God is and by Him we have the power of God, Romans 15:13. But you see, The power of God is found in the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6, 11 says we're sanctified in the Spirit. John 17, 17 says sanctify them in the Word. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy Word is truth. So, again, washed in the Spirit. We're washed with the Word. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. So, the Spirit is at work today. He's at work by means of the Word that He's revealed, that He inspired, and that He confirmed, validated to be from heaven. And when we read the Word, we're hearing the Spirit. When we obey the Word, we're following the Spirit. He's leading, He's guiding us. When we apply it in our lives, we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. At every turn, He is a part of our lives by the Word that He's given us. When we forget that, we forget the primary thing that the Holy Spirit continues to do in our lives today. He's not far away. He is very close. He's as close as the Word that's to be planted within our hearts that we might live with God and be saved now and eternally. Look also with me, Philippians 2:1 says, the Holy Spirit's having fellowship with us. The apostle makes his point by saying, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, then make full my joy, be of the same mind. See, he predicates the unity of the brethren upon the fact that there is fellowship with the Spirit of God. We're to be united with each other. We're to have the same mind with one another. Same love, one accord, one mind, because we have fellowship of the Spirit. Because He is in communion with us and we with Him. There's a sharing with Him in our lives. He dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Speaks of the relationship that exists between the Spirit of God, or with the Spirit, between the Spirit of God and the Christian. Romans 8, 9 through 11. The apostle talks about this relationship. As we follow the word that the Spirit has revealed to us, look at this relationship. He says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, he's speaking to every individual Christian here. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh. That is, you're not following the desires of the flesh. You are fulfilling the and doing the things of the Spirit. Verse 5. Things He's revealed. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. If we're not following the Word the Spirit's given us, if we're not in fellowship with the Spirit of God, then we're not with God. We're not with Jesus. We're not with His Son. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is in it, if we're in a relationship with Christ, then the body of sin has been put away. We put sin away because the Spirit of God's in us. And He's not going to dwell with sin. He's not going to dwell with us if we're living in sin. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, again, he predicates, he says, if this is so and it is, it's to be so, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So again, because of your fellowship with the Spirit, God will raise your mortal body. That we'll have resurrection of the body. Right now, we have fellowship with God's Spirit. He dwells in us just as surely as Christ dwells in us. Just as surely as we're in Christ, we're in the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about being in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Well, one of those blessings is fellowship with the Spirit of God. Just as surely as it's fellowship with the Son of God. How did you receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith or by the keeping of the law of Moses? That was Paul's question rhetorically in Galatians 3. Verses 1 and 2. Look, he said, how is it that you came into a relationship with God's Spirit? How is it you have the benefit of the Spirit of God? Did you get it through the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hearing of faith, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. by the preaching of the gospel, we receive the Spirit. Now remember, in Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift the Spirit gives is our inheritance. Acts 26:18-20. So again, there's the affirmation of our inheritance and an affirmation of fellowship. But surely, if we receive the inheritance that the Spirit promises, we're in fellowship, in communion with that, with His Spirit. Now, how does so the Spirit of Christ is in us because we hear and receive the word of faith, the gospel. Well, how does Jesus dwell in us? Ephesians 3:17 says, by faith. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Same way Christ is in our heart, the Holy Spirit's in our heart. We hear the Word of God, we trust it, we follow it. Christ is in us, the Spirit is in us, the Father is in us, and we're in them. What the Bible teaches us in John 14:23, if any man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and come unto him and keep, and we'll make our abode with him. You want God to live with you? Please punch 12341. We've got a problem with the system. We're going to have to get the people out here to take care of that. Push 12341 and do it twice, and that'll turn that off. Sorry. I've got to get the servicemen out here. If any man loves me, he'll keep my word. Now, we want God in our lives. We want the safety, the security. We want what we talked about this morning, that we know God is a strong refuge in time of need. Well, then to do that, have that, then we've got to be keeping His words. You know, we've got to be in fellowship with His Spirit. And we're not going to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit if we're denying His Word. You see, so that all begins to fit together. It's as we keep His commandments that we have this relationship with the Spirit of God. 1 John 4:12-13. 1 John 4:12-13. John wrote, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." So now one of the aspects of keeping His commandments is loving one another. And this we know that, and by this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And so the presence of the Spirit in our lives, the fellowship with the Spirit of God, is testimony of our fellowship with the Father, with God Almighty. You see, God says, "I'll dwell with my people." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God dwells with us as we walk in the Word that He's given us. Our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, that we have from God, and we're not our own. You see, when it means we have fellowship with God's Spirit, it means now that how we use our bodies is impacted by that relationship. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God's Spirit. Our body is to be used to give Him honor, give Him glory, to be pure and holy in His sight. That was His context. Flee fornication. Because to yield to fornication is to defile the body that's given for the glory of God. Because the Spirit dwells in us. So we must use our bodies to honor God, not defile the very fellowship that He gives us as a result of our faith in the Word that He gives us. So He's with us. He's using the Word of God to assure us, to strengthen us, to confirm our faith. But here's what He's not doing today. Holy Spirit is not baptizing people today. There's no Holy Spirit baptism going on today. A lot of people believe that He is. They think speaking in tongues is proof of, as they call it, is proof of Holy Spirit baptism. The Bible says there's one baptism. Ephesians 4:5. They misuse John 3:3-5. And in effect, they have two baptisms. They have a water baptism and a Holy Spirit baptism. But there are two elements to one baptism in that passage. He says, born of the water and the Spirit. One birth, two elements. The Spirit of God has instructed us by His Word that we are to be baptized in water. There's one baptism, the Great Commission baptism. He's not baptizing, the Holy Spirit's not baptizing people with Himself today. That was a promise to the apostles, never a commandment that people today obey. That promise has been fulfilled, its purposes have been accomplished in the apostles. But now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Because the Holy Spirit is involved in water baptism. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now the baptism here is the one baptism, the Great Commission baptism. It's water baptism. But he says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. This harmonizes with what we've been saying already. The Holy Spirit gives us the direction by which we are baptized into the body of Christ. The Word of God, the Scriptures teach us and bring us to baptism. So by one Spirit, that is by the direction of the Spirit of God, we are baptized into one body. And that was his broader point here, that we're one body. You said we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. The Spirit of God Himself has taught us of the power and purpose of water baptism and brought us into the body of Christ when we were baptized in water. Not Holy Spirit baptism, water baptism. Now, He's not giving miraculous spiritual gifts today like He did in the first century. Those serve their purpose, those have ended. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. He says, love never fails. Love endures. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are representative of the miraculous spiritual gifts enumerated in chapter 12 and being discussed through this entire context. He says those things are going to stop. They're going to fail. They're going to cease. They're going to vanish away. But not love. That's why he says the more excellent way is love. We know in part and we prophesy in part. The Spirit, according to His will, distributed these gifts of knowledge and prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues and miracles and such. But he says, those are partial. And when that which is perfect has come, that which is complete has come, that which is in part will be done away. You see, the miraculous gifts help to bring together the body of revelation, the body of truth, the New Testament. Confirmed, validated, and available. Written and available for the entire world. They served their purpose. They served it well. They satisfied their need. And now we have full revelation. Miracles have ended. Those miraculous spiritual... He's not working direct miracles any longer in this world. It's just not what He's doing. It's not the work that's happening today. He's not revealing new truth today either. He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13 was promised the apostles, and it was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3. So the Holy Spirit has given us the truth. He's not giving us new truth. He's not telling you something He hadn't already told me, or told me something He hadn't already told you. He's told us all the same thing in the Scriptures. Talked to a fellow the other day who he was wondering whether or not God was hearing his prayers, whether or not God was listening to him. In the course of discussion, I asked him, I said, you know, perhaps an equally important question you need to ask is, are you listening to God? Well, he said, well, I think I am. I said, well, how are you doing that? How are you doing that? How are you listening to God? Are you listening to the Spirit? You see, we know the answer to that. We listen to the Spirit of God by listening to the Word He gave us. By letting this Word teach us. That's the way He's going to speak to us. That's the way He's going to reveal or bring us to a knowledge of the truth. is that we commit ourselves to it as well. You see, we're not, the Holy Spirit's not enlightening anybody apart from the Word of God. Romans 1, verse 16. It's by the Word of God that we have the way of truth presented to us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So the gospel shines a light of truth, the image of God, upon us. The Holy Spirit's not going to give you some insight apart from the Word that He's revealed to you. He's not directly dwelling in people's bodies either. We've talked about this before. We have fellowship with the Spirit. Our body is to be used in harmony with His will. And so it said our body is a temple of, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, just as surely as the Father and the Son. But you see, God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. God isn't contained in our body. He has fellowship with us, and our body is for His honoring. He abides with us. But just as surely as demons don't possess us, the Holy Spirit doesn't possess us. We have fellowship. It speaks of relationship when the Bible talks about dwelling in His people, dwelling in you and me. Colossians 1 and verse 27, for example. Colossians 1 and verse 27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now you're talking about a relation. This fixed position. Christ in you. You in Christ. See, he's talking about the abiding relationship between Christ and His people. Between the Spirit of God and the people of God. You see, not personal, actual possessing of our body by the Holy Spirit. Let's close our study by looking at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, and we'll pick up the reading here in verse 1. Paul said, "I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power." Now, here's a promise of understanding God's plan. God revealed truth to the apostles, and they wrote that truth down. And when we read it, we can understand their knowledge. And at the heart of it, he says, these are things that have been revealed by the Spirit. Verse 5, the Spirit of God has revealed fully God's plan to save us from our sins, to give us an inheritance, and to bring the Gentiles into that so that all who will believe and obey the gospel will be saved. And Paul says, this is what I preach, this is what I serve. I become a minister according to the grace of God that works according to His power. God's power works according to the gospel. That's where the Holy Spirit is working today. His work is central to our salvation. If the Holy Spirit had not revealed truth, if He had not inspired its proclamation, if He had not validated its accuracy, then how could we have faith? We would have no faith. We'd have supposition, speculation. But now we have testimony from heaven itself that our faith is sure, that our hope is secure, that our relationship of salvation in the Christ is accurate and is able to save us as we follow the teaching of the Spirit. So we shouldn't be afraid to learn about the Spirit of God, teach about the Spirit of God, and speak about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, I know a lot of people speak wrongly about the Spirit, but we can speak properly. We can know that He still is at work through the Word of God that He has given us and that He calls upon us to implant in our hearts and live in our lives. He is God. He deserves our praise. He deserves our submission, our humble obedience. Because you see, that's who He is. He's deity. And He deserves and He demands that we listen, that we listen carefully, and that we follow the instruction that He's given us. If you're not a Christian, you need to start following the Spirit of God. You need to believe Him, that He's the one who teaches us about Jesus. You need to obey Him. You need to repent of your sin. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to be saved. You need to live according to His instruction. Walk in newness of life, putting sin away and doing the will of God. We want to help you do that. We want you to be saved tonight. Be baptized by one Spirit into one body. The Lord will save you, add you to His church, if you'll obey the direction of the Spirit. If we can help you do that or repent of sin as a child of God and pray together about those things, we urge you to come. While together we stand and we sing.